I'm turning this morning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, and I begin with the first verse. So, Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, and verse 1. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. Well, we'll be looking at one of the miracles of the Lord. And in fact, it is the miracle that is recorded only once in the New Testament. Of course, the Lord may have done this kind of healing before, but this is the only time it is recorded here in the Gospels. And so we're thinking this morning about the agency in spiritual needs. Agency. And the concern, my dear friends, is simply that strangely for all of us, there seems to be something more urgent in life than matters of the soul. And this is very unfortunate. And the Lord Jesus Christ, by this miracle, will show how unwise this is. That something else seems so urgent, more pressing to us than becoming Christians, becoming children of God. And if that is my case, it is then the explanation why I may not have found the Lord, or the Lord has not found me. Because the matter is not an urgent matter. And so, my dear friends, that's the at least one of the purposes of this miracle. You know, all the miracles of our Lord, we say, are gracious. By that we mean all the miracles of the Lord were intended to teach something about His grace also. They were real, literal miracles. If you were there, you have been so moved by the wonder of it. They were exactly as Scripture records them. But they were not just there for people to admire and say, hey, this is a wonderful miracle, and that's all. They were intended also, yes, to show us who the Lord Jesus Christ is, that He is God who has taken on human flesh and come among us, but also to teach us spiritual things, exactly as the Old Testament prophet said, and the same thing, especially in the Gospel of John. So these miracles were intended as visual aids, if you like, acted parables, sometimes we call them. They were intended to instruct us about matters of our souls, and this the Lord does. Especially beautifully here in this miracle. And so we get into the first verse again. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. This probably would have been the Sabbath day dinner that some of the people were able to afford, that would organize on the Lord's day, on the Sabbath day in those days. And this man is called a chief Pharisee. That could mean that he may have been a member of the Sanhedrin, you know, the 70 elders that oversaw the things, the religious affairs of the Jewish people in the land of Israel. Or he may have simply been a ruler of the synagogue, one of the synagogue teachers. And so he's called a chief Pharisee. And he invited the Lord. This is kindness, of course. But it's also a surprise, because they were willing to invite the Lord Jesus Christ to this dinner. And the Lord went. As the Bible teaches us, if somebody invites you, well, if it is it's going to be kept so simple and not having all kinds of things done alongside it, then we may want to go. So the Lord himself went. And it was on a Sabbath day, a day that was supposed to be a rest day. And as he went, they watched him. They did always. They wanted to find fault with the Lord. And so they watched him, what he would do wrong, so they made that, take up that against him, as they were watching the Lord. And the Lord, he didn't mind at all, because he knew he was always out to do good, and so he didn't really care who was watching for what. And so the Lord went ahead with what he would do. And then we come to the problem in verse 2. And behold, the word is always striking. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. We don't know whether this man was invited by the Pharisees or who, but he's there. In fact, we have the impression from verse 7 that this was a large gathering. So it was not a few people. There was seemingly a considerable number of people there. And this man is here also, but he's a sick man. And so he came in. Of course, his sickness was somewhat different from the kind that we often read in Scripture. As I mentioned, it's only mentioned once here in the Bible. The man is sick of the dropsy, they call that. Now, they tell us that the modern equivalent is what they call the oedema, a sickness that involves the Greek simply is a compound of two words. It's quite picturesque. It gives you the picture of what it is. The Greek actually is a compound word. One side simply means the phase, and the other one simply suggests that there's something like an inflammation. Something that is bloated up. And so this is like somebody who's facing like bloated, swollen, because it is an inflammation in the various parts of the body. There's this gathering up of fluids at various parts of the body. And this made the person very distressed, because in the latter days, they didn't describe that to be oedema, but it's a bit of what Spurgeon suffered, the preacher Spurgeon suffered, because his was the whole body, and his entire body was distending, becoming bigger, and very distressing. In this case, it may have started in the face, so you could see the face seemingly bloated, or whichever part of the body, so it's quite distressing for this man. And so this man somehow managed to come to this party. There's a dinner, and he's here. Now, was he coming expecting to be healed? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. The Bible only says he was before the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not know the arrangement, the seating arrangement, and so we don't know before him in what sense, but at least as such that the Lord Jesus Christ could easily see him. And the man was easily visible to most of the people there, with this very difficult, painful situation with him. Usually it is regarded as an emergency, and I don't know today, but for many years it was regarded as incurable, because it involved a problem with the kidneys, or sometimes the liver, they tell us, after course of that. And so it was generally described or regarded as incurable, and you would eventually have to die. And so this man had a very painful situation. I'm sure you know, my dear friends, that the diseases in Scripture are always intended to tell us something about our spiritual state. And this tells us something about ourselves. We are all like sick people before Almighty God. We dare not forget this. We are internally ill. Something is gone wrong. The heart is not right. And we do not desire God. We do not really fear Him. In our hearts, we are such broken people, because we do not have God as our God. And we do not trust Him as our God. We do not live for Him as the chief purpose of our lives. Other things are more important to us. And so we live our lives. And the fact is that, and this miracle is intended to teach us, that as long as we are in this state, all we would have is distress in this life. No, some things may be okay. I may have a good job, well paid, enough money to spend. But everybody knows that these things can never deliver us and make us immune from life's troubles. And so we will not be able to know the peace that the Lord Jesus Christ calls my peace, that special peace that comes from Him, that restfulness of the heart, which is His own work. We will be strangers to these things. And like this illness, we'll be actually wasting away within ourselves. We'll be becoming worse and worse. Yedin komo fasa mapapaya obai radiho. Afadwa on shedan bi radiho yet to suffering is on co party asi. No sa party asi no bro corone radi is a piece so ewoho. Na yakin kind say na o yari yarebia minim ni tree. Rofinia fernu dropsy. Na drugs na yaria ema we said ya uhunam afebi ehuhuno isan say said ya insio ewa uhunemu no e boa no ewa sabia no uhunam afa baby inti papa we dia na san na nitibia tie inti na waba of course odi ba party no asinim say ye sheda e invite ni somra o so no an oba yo isan say eye ahumjida no party asa papa we farisee fu penin ba kwi organize it, and that's all she shares some coffee beba. Not to suffer Radia Jesus Christ. Near Cassis, I say, when Radia Simon said, ye Bible can't yadia one Samoa. Ne said the Radia Jesus Christ day, I sa ebre ubia. A ye, I yer sa a sea young Cassa, a die Radia Jesus Christ to me a day, a chair, so a young coupon. a owo tumi e wo bibia so ya de hia ni de titi sin yina but I recall no answer sa sa ya de no Ewurade asɛm kyerɛ sɛ ɛyɛ mfonyin ɛfa sɛdeɛ yɛte ɛwɔ Nyankopɔn anim. Ɛyɛ ana saa nneɛma na ɛboa mu yɛnya mfonyin no yɛnya picture no because ɛyɛ ana sɛ scripture ka kyerɛ sɛdeɛ yɛte a yɛntumi ɛnya mfonyin no yie ɛwɔ yɛn adwene mu. Nti yadeɛ yɛ mfonyin baako a ɛboa yɛn. Bible say yɛn nyinaa nso Nyankopɔn yɛ yare sɛdeɛ nea ɔwɔ saa dropsy. Ɛsan sɛ wɔyɛ mu no yɛ sɛ daa. Kodi se radi Yesu Kristo bɛ mi fufuro no mi mu nipa no Bible friends say yɛwɔ mu nipa no sɛdeɛ meti wɔ makoma no nneɛma ɛyɛ makɔndɔ mahwehwɛ deɛ ɛne nneɛma ɛdi mi soɔ nneɛma ɛne na mepɛ sɛ metena ɛma saa nneɛma no ɛbɛyɛ dea ɛsɛ daa ɛwɔ me mu ɛsiane sɛ Awurade Yesu Kristo anya akoma no foforɔ a sɛ ne bɛsiara. And so, this is the problem with this man. And what is striking, my dear friends, is that it was the Lord who saw this man, who took attention about this man, who gave attention to this man. Look at that verse 2 there. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had a dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Because obviously the Lord Jesus Christ is going to heal this man. Because he asked them, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Irade Yesu Kristo no bi sa tinti e famre kwan mo se yesa obi ya wa hunji da ana e sa se na iwa o Irade Yesu Kristo kwan mo se obe sa pa sa pape e yari entia. See friends, the striking thing is that all these persons that are sitting here were mere onlookers. They were looking upon the man's case. Of course you understand. I'm not saying this to blame them. What could they have done? This is a sickness too much beyond them. All they could do was to watch this man merely come. They would give him food to eat at the party, and that's all. And the man would have to go home with his illness. No help, no blessing, nothing at all to relieve his most deepest trouble and need. Friends, I say this because you see, this is what this world is like. A young person wants to give himself to this world and spend his energies only for this world and its gains. And for the truth is, the world is only an onlooker. It cannot solve your deepest woes and your deepest troubles and your deepest fears. It has no answer. It has nothing to remove that. Very sometimes one of the amazing things you find in the world, of course, this is what it's supposed to be because it is the world condemned by God. And it is a world that has turned its back on God. So what else can you expect? All our help must come from the Lord. All our help comes from Him alone. Because if we cut ourselves from God, what else do we expect to have? And so on. Sometimes you see even worldly leaders, and they may see something, maybe a drug or something that is very destructive. And sometimes you can see how slow they are to ban it. They only dance around it. One thing that comes to mind is that it's about a cigarette. You know, everybody is saying it kills people. It brings cancer. It ruins the heart and all the lungs and all these kind of things. Everybody is saying that. And, you know, and yet, of course, everybody knows who are those behind that. And all that they do is to say that, oh, only put such a graphic images on the boxes so that when people look at it and say, hey, so when I smoke, this is what is going to happen to me. And that they hope that that's to make people to stop. This is strange. If it is bad and you have the power to do it, why don't you do it? Because the world is an onlooker to man's deepest needs. For a long time, one of the things that baffles me is that when you go to the secondary schools, they have the entertainment times, isn't it? They still do it, isn't it? You have the entertainment days, and usually, sadly, it's Saturday, as a preceding Sunday. And who doesn't know? Who? Which of the teachers doesn't know that in many of the secondary schools, at least, it's become a ground for foolishness? Who doesn't know? And yet they're still there. The children must have the entertainment. And so they on their own, they can fool about and do all this kind of thing. The world is an onlooker in your deepest troubles. And they try. No, friends, the world is always cornered. It doesn't have the solutions. It cannot. And so all it can do is simply sometimes play around the problem.
Yes, sir, we are seeing a woman. Near person, number five, we are seeing when they say, we are seeing any in your and now say, answer, and mad, there a higher way a cream one cassa. What person, number five, we are seeing? Especially when we are young person, a cafe chain, you are simply for us. What person, number five, we are seeing? Only you are not. Nyoma e wo wo kremu ankasa e hawo no nye wo metimi aya ne so mo shara wo mo kutimi enye hwe. No, sometimes it is like some of the best friends you have, and you have your most deepest turmoils and deepest troubles, and all they can do is merely say some nice things to you. Well, that's the best they can do, isn't it? What else can they do? What else can you expect from them? That's all they can do. They are only onlookers. And if you reject the only one who alone can minister to the heart and deal kindly with you and so uphold and support you throughout all life and all its changing circumstances, what a loss. Nia oye na jinse, o peso nwa shena bro boso. Nam peso de bra saira di se, o nwa owo tumi se, o dani abrebo na fa bibiano, o nubeye su uwira. Na wa cry a brebo no afade besibiemu na wa jina ya fa na wa mena onu ankasa ne na sumjini ne mwa ewo tibiemu no obonu ankasa ne krabro. The world is only an only kind. The sad thing is, it may be that you yourself, like these Pharisees, are only an onlooker. You hear about salvation, you just simply want to listen and go away. You see people converted, you only look and you walk away. You go to a church, you hear others the Lord is bringing to himself, you only look and walk away. It is always one of the most painful sides. You hear that the Lord has saved somebody and it brought him to himself. Sometimes there are young persons that could bear witness that this is a young person that we were all. No, I'm sorry to be using this illustration always. In a Sunday school work, you see this a number of times. You see young persons. This young person looks at his friends, and some of his friends are converted. They are brought to the Lord. He can see the changes wrought in them. They are new persons now. And they themselves recognize the fact that they cannot be too close with this friend now because his purposes in life has changed. And the things he wants to do are all different. As they themselves pull back a little because they still remain in their sinful worldly interests. They pull back a little. But they certainly keep on being an onlooker without caring about the fact that they are sick within. And they bear illness, spiritual illness, of sin within. And she cry, "Wa so cry me niya, wo shebiara, wa wo ansho wa hasa wo be shebiara." When he has said biara, wo peso won so unsera de diwa benin chain na said ye o chimi di bimu boni chawo ya won fufro o diwa benin chain say ya nwa ya ma uso wo peso wo be shebiara wo be tiara wo be namara enyam faso ma o. Yeshua on Christ obey me, what did you bring in Abishas obey Radin Chase and say, Saints in a Ninin in Chat Yawaha. And now, let me go on to tell you something that happened because the Lord will heal this man. Verse 2, and behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? He asked them because he knew they would take issues with him. As he asked them, is it lawful? Now, there had been rules about the Sabbath which were not really given by the Lord. The Jews themselves had added these ones up. They have had all kinds of regulations about the Sabbath that were not originally there. And so, in their minds, you could not even heal a person on the Sabbath. That's what they thought the Lord couldn't do. And the Lord Jesus Christ would surely challenge that and teach them what they should understand. Now, they didn't answer in verse 4. And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go. So, they were not willing to answer the Lord. They were just quiet. Is it right to heal this man on the Sabbath? They were all looking at him. And the Lord took the man and healed him and let him go. You know, Usually, I'm sure if you've been reading your Bibles, you know that when such situations come, the Lord tries to give either the rebuke or the teaching before the healing. But this time around, the Lord healed the man first. Before entering into the discussion, he comes to the discussion in the next verse. But he heals the man first to let him go. Why? Because this is an emergency situation. The man is distressed within. And so if the Lord could do something for him, he would do it at once. He would bless the man and heal him and send him away. And then he will address the problem. You know, the Lord did a similar thing. Remember when he was with his disciples on the Sea of Galilee, and there was a tempest that was risen against them. We are told that the disciples were afraid, ran to the Lord, and were asking him why did he not care that the tempest was against them and things like this. And again, we read that after the Lord really rose up, he rebuked the wind and then he addressed them. He knew that this is an emergency case. And so the Lord dealt with this man. This is compassion and kindness. And it is with our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he dealt with this man very kindly before he addressed the problems they were bringing up to him. And then after he done that, look at the discussion he has with them, verse 5. And answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ass, or are not falling into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath? So the Lord is making them wonder, why are you so slow to see such thing as this? So he says, I give one example. If you had an ass and an ox, and the Lord chose two very important animals in those days, because these were capital animals. They were used for their farming and moving of goods here and there. So it was very important, a capital animal it was. And so, which of you, having your ass or ox, if it fell into a pit, will not at once pull it out, even if it were on a Sabbath day? The implication simply is this, that what about this man who is in great distress? And on the Sabbath day, can he not be healed? The Lord Jesus Christ taught us very clearly that the Sabbath was made for our benefit. The Lord made it, so there shall be a day when we shall give attention to spiritual things. And the sad thing is that people still ignore it. People still don't care that God gave the Sunday. It's no longer a Saturday because the Savior rose up on Sunday. It is now the first day of the week. And it is given to us for our spiritual benefit. Some people still will crowd that up with all kinds of busy things. They will crowd that up with all kinds of interests because they don't simply care about their souls. They don't care where they stand before God. They don't care whether they are saved or not. They don't care to say that, oh, but I need to go to where I may hear God's word so that I may seek the Lord and find him and be brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't simply care. And so they've made the Lord's day like any other day at all. My dear friends, that is not be my subject, but this is a warning to us that be careful, because if I'm not a converted person, one of the things that will stand against me on the day of judgment is that the day also that God gave, so that I may go to his house to hear the things that will profit me, I use them for business. I use them for my own entertainment. And I ignore the purpose of the Lord in giving that day. And so we'll be answerable before God. And we would have to face up to that. And we'll have no answer, nothing at all to return in reply to the Lord. But friend, that's not my concern. But min kanu chika kansa. Afi, ready is the Christo, ARD, obisa won se inti esese ahundida no yebetumi asa obi yare ana na wo mo motete ho no obi aye din o mo ampeso mo ka bibia ne ti radiso kristo na nkaso fa papa no no san yare no ma no koye ansa na oni sa asofo mpini fo no mo no e bakasa esan se radiso kristo won se sa to peni ti bia no na dia esese oye bibi fa mo sesia obre no wonam de mo na Eradimehun said Sati biye dia esseso ye bibi fang se seya. Inti on chen. Osan yare wiyan sa na. Oni won edi en komanas. Bibi sa won en sam na. O wiyan no bisa won se. O mou mwany. En esse owo abo. Bite se ne nche. Anase as. Aso san ye freno. Esa. 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 Bibu biwo. Somewhere around the jura. Minim, where else you can find that? But a koyese, it's a bikra wakra. And I'm saying, if crofudi were cars, we have a wooden structure, be a sunny tree. Nobody know me because not watching. And a very gentle animal, and to make me a control very well. And to Omodi, yeah, a juma, and yes, Christmas, Mumuai, and as a wo answer, and I say, Nenchi, Okoto, Amunamwa. When Pentamas of a man is so. Now, Nimpeye, Sadi Rade Patrick, Nimpeye, Yin to mean Saniari Amjidana, Sadi Rade is Christopher Adrian Basso. Now, why did the Lord ask them this? Why this illustration? Because you see, friends, the Lord wanted them to realize, see, everybody has something that is a matter of emergency for them. Everybody. The question is, what is that? What is it? I'm sure all of us have heard this funny story about car owners whom they hear about the accident of their cars, and they say the first thing they ask is about their car rather than the driver and the passengers. What happened to them? So the first thing they ask that, so what happens to my car? Then they told me car rather than, so is the driver safe? Are the passengers okay? Somehow, everybody has something that is a matter of emergency for you. Dear friends, is that not true? Is that not true? What is that? You have to answer. What is it that is a matter of emergency? If it should happen right now, you would ask for every excuse to be able to attend to that. What is that? And it doesn't include the Lord. Dear friend, this is the greatest act of God. The Son of God has come down from heaven. God who made heaven and earth. The Lord Jesus Christ to take our nature to become like one of us. To go to the cross of Calvary. To purchase forgiveness of sins for sinners. That we may be reconciled to God. And that I may be forgiven and washed and made a new person. And it is not a matter of emergency to you, an urgent matter to you, dear friends. We have to be concerned. What is it that is making me not see the urgency of the case? What is it that is making me so slow to ponder this? Am I distracted? The Lord is talking about a misplaced sense of urgency. You don't seem to be urgent about a man who is so sick, but you are very urgent when if it were an animal. This is what the Lord is saying. If you don't have a sense of urgency in spiritual things, you have it in something else. And the Bible calls it a misplaced urgency. Misplace the sense of urgency. You have a misplaced sense of urgency. Something else is more pressing to me. Something else is more something I want to attend to more quickly. That matters of my soul. Friends, I wish I can really urge you because this is so, so unwise. If somebody wanted something, let's say he has such a huge ambition. I want to get this and this and that. Maybe I want to travel and secure this and get this kind of thing. If this person begins to suffer from some serious illness, life-threatening illness, what is that counsel that any wise parent would give to that person? Oh, settle down. In fact, I know somebody very close back in Cape Coast. the young man had a really series of illnesses. He was evidently distressing himself over all kinds of pursuits. At the time, he wanted to pursue something else, some degrees and things like this. And he himself was telling me Because he himself was surprised. He said that he was surprised. He couldn't think of that way. He was telling me that it took my wife to tell me that, what do you really want? What do you really want? You're just stressing yourself, jeopardizing your health. What do you really want? It took the wife. So that somehow even the wife saw that it was no wise that my husband is endangering his health in pursuit of supposed something. What do you want, my dear friend? That the fact that you are cut off from God isn't a matter of urgency to you. You don't care. You don't mind that you are not a Christian. You don't care that God's eyes are not upon you for blessing. He doesn't look upon you as a child and as somebody has communion with you. You have no blessing or benefit from the love of Christ when he died on the cross of Calvary. Though he paid the penalty for sins, your own sins have not been washed. Your own sins are still upon your shoulders, and you will die in that state, condemned forever from God, and you don't care. This is surprising, isn't it? And this is the Savior's, the reason behind this illustration. Which of you, if you have a mere ox, will not be so urgent to pull it out of a pit? How much more a person, how much more your own souls? Are you urgent over something than your own souls, dear friends? You remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said? The kingdom of God is really found by those who are really urgent. Please, if you think that well, I can become a Christian, but then just one day saying, oh, I see that it's a nice thing to be a Christian. Okay, I raise my hand, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. You think that is what it means to be a Christian? I can challenge you, show me a place that is in the Bible, and that if you could show me one, I can show you 100 of the very opposite that tells you time and again that the kingdom of God is found by those who are earnest and urgent. The kingdom of God is for those who, what is the earnestness? Earnestness simply means, I see it and it is the chief thing I want. I want to be a child of God. I want to be forgiven. I want to be right with God. I want to find myself as somebody God looks upon with approval and acceptance. I am not satisfied with merely people looking upon me as I'm a nice person and things like that. No, I want Almighty God to look upon me and receive me and approve of me. That's all I want. And this is an urgent matter for me. Dear friend, is this so with you? If it is not so with you, you will not seek the Lord. You will not come to Him. You will not sincerely repent. You will not sincerely believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ lightly. You believe in Him with all your heart. All your heart, the Bible means, as the chief matter, as the supreme matter, that the greater thing I want. Friends, you know, in the Bible shows us that if there's anything at all in this world that I seek more than Almighty God, well, that thing to me is more important than Almighty God. Do you see what you are doing? Can the Lord then give Himself to you in salvation whilst you treat Him as if He's second to something else? You cannot treat Him that way. We come to Him as the one we deeply, earnestly want. And then we will surely find Him. My dear friends, you cannot have... Friends, let me mention something else. So look at the Lord's warning about misplaced sense of urgency. Verse 5 again. And answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or will not fall into a pit and will not straightway pull it out on the Sabbath? You see the word there, straightway? You wouldn't wait. You wouldn't wait. You wouldn't wait to even consider. Straight away you act. I must get this out. And you do not care. You see, here am I. I am a sinner. I know what I'm doing. I know my life. At least I know some of it. And I know that I'm not getting better. I may be a nicer person on the outside, but inside I'm not. I'm rotting away. Sins are increasing. Lusts are really gripping me more firmer. I'm becoming more absorbed in the things of this world. And I'm seeing nothing about God and how to relate to Him and how to know Him. These things are becoming all the more far from me. And you don't care. Friend, this is very strange. Years ago, you knew that, I forget the year, but you knew that year that there was this, one of the states of the United States where they have their marathon, and somebody blew up a bomb there. I don't know whether you remember that. That's some years ago. So there was this place where there were all these kind of people watching the marathon, and then somebody went in the midst of them and blew up a bomb. And when they got the CCTV recordings, one of the striking things, because they were telling us, one of the investigators, what he said was that one of the things that showed them who may be the cause was this, that in the midst of the pandemonium, in the midst of the uproar, you know, there's a bomb blast and everybody's running helter-skelter, everybody going wherever, strangely, there was a man that was walking very quietly, as if nothing is happening, at the very opposite, say, this could be the one. How can it happen? Everybody's running for dear life, and you are walking so comfortably away. It gave the game away. It showed everybody, this must be the evil man. Friends, I'm sorry, I don't intend to really call you an evil man, but you see, think of it and see. Here we are. God is saying, this salvation is the urgent matter. To be saved, to be forgiven, to be made a new person, to have your sins washed. The Lord Jesus Christ to receive you as His own is the greatest thing. And you walk quietly away. Why? You show yourself to be a very staunch rebel. You say, I don't need Him. I despise that Savior. I don't like Him. I will not trust Him. I will not give my life to Him. Even though I will go to church. Even though I will be mingling with our church people. It is not a matter of agency for me. You see, as the Lord Jesus, this is the essence of the illustration. That everybody takes something serious one time or the other. What is it that is a matter of seriousness to you? What is it that is a matter of agency to you? Because that would tell you and I who you really are. And the kind of things that really rule your life. What is it that is a matter of agency? It may be a very decent thing. Not necessarily a sinful thing. Maybe just a decent thing that is a matter of agency. But my dear friends, you think it is more important than being right with God. Having the Lord Jesus Christ receive you to Himself. Having Him die on the cross of Calvary to bring you to Himself. You think that thing is more urgent than that one. Obiawa dia, ayeno imprim prayer dear sisia. Na semisan se e dia. Again, they won't pray at it. Bibi, I said, where they said, Bibi, SCCCA. Say, any young coupon. And it said to me, Sadi, young coupon, beg Jimmy, in an ordinary abandoned chair. Who said, and say, you won't want someone your Christony. It sounds like a Christo say, one more banning chair, I'm paranormal. But I was out come on, a radium clown, or she shouldn't say any brain more. And the radius of Christo be someone say, Mumu, why? And as I was born, no sort of am no more on your intent. No, you know, friends, a sense of agency must be attached with matters of our souls. Otherwise, we will never really enter into the kingdom of God. If it's only a matter of convenience, in a matter of, when I like, when I want, things like this. Dear friends, let me come to this, verse 6. And they could not answer him again to these things. How could they answer? Because the answers were on their consciences. How could they answer? Because they cannot give the Lord an answer. Everybody has something that is urgent to him. If it is not the Lord, what else is it? My dear friends, I really want to come to a close. Those of you who are a bit older, you know that in the 80s, early 80s, Ghanaians were deported from Nigeria. At least you may have heard it, even if you didn't see it. So many Ghanaians, because in the 70s, mid 70s, early 70s, mid 70s, so many Ghanaians, it became the overseas for Ghanaians. So many Ghanaians went to Nigeria. It was said in those days, if you were looking for your son and you couldn't find him, well, you may phone Nigeria. And he may be found there. And it was almost literally true. Everyone was going to Nigeria in those days. And then in the 80s, they said we should come back to our country. And they gave us a deadline. Oh, I used us. I didn't go there. I was too small to go there. So us, because I'm a Ghanaian. Anyway, so Ghanaians were supposed to come back with a deadline. And we saw the pictures. And something was striking. When I think back, even now I can remember the pictures. The pictures were... TV were not common in those days. A few people had TVs in their homes. I remember in the town, in the community where I lived, on Sundays we'd go around looking for television. There were only three televisions in the entire community. I'm sorry to bore you with these ones, but this was my purpose. We saw the pictures. And what stood out, and I still remember, was this. Because of, and these pictures was when the deadline was so close. I don't remember how many days were left at the time, but the deadline was so close. And so the president, Jerry John Rawlings at the time, sent a ship to go and collect the Ghanaians. And so they brought out the pictures. And you could see everyone struggling to get into the ship. Only two kinds of person were very relaxed. Only two kinds of person were relaxed. You know who they were? The Nigerians who were secure in their own country. They have come around to look at the poor Ghanaians running away. So they were just standing there watching. Or Ghanaians who were already in the ship. And so they were just simply waiting for the ship to take off. These were the two persons that were settled. Everyone else was in a state of hurry. In fact, to the extent that some people, because everybody wanted to get onto the stairway, so even some people would actually lay hold on the berthing line, you know, the rope they used to berth the ship. They would lay hold on that and try to crawl up to that. And some people fell into the water and perished. That was the news. Everybody was rushed because that was the last ship. If you missed it, you missed everything. If you miss, you have to find your own way to come back to Ghana. Either you pay for it and they bring you down the road or something else. And this is free because the government was providing for that. And so you struggle either through the walkway or through those very, very dangerous route. And people did. Only two kinds of people. Secure. The trouble is, when people are not in a state of emergency, they feel secure within, that's why. The sad thing is, if an unbeliever is secure, he is secure or she is secure in his or her sin. I am at rest in my sin. This is unheard of. I am at rest in my sin. I know I am a sinner. I know I am not saved. I know I have no contact with God, yet I am satisfied. I am resting in that condition. Friends, have you heard of that before? And so friends, if you are not earnest to come to the Lord, if you are not urgent in coming to the Lord, think of it. You are resting in your state of sin. No friends, don't do that. Repent. Turn to the Lord. Come to Him. Realize what you are doing. Realize those things. You are in such a sad condition. You are a sick person within. Your case will grow worse and worse. Dear friends, this is true. You won't become a better person. It's true. Character was spoiled. Your language was spoiled. You may be a nice person talking with some kind of persons. You will know within the kind of language you will love and delight in. Even if you speak them to only some small circle of people, will all become corrupt and corrupt because you are not changed. Until the Savior gives you a new heart, you never become a new person. until the Savior changes you. You can never improve yourself, dear friends, in terms of character, in terms of the thing that brings you peace and comfort and rest. You would always be a needy person and open to the devil's lies and deception. Oh, come to the Savior. You cannot turn away from this. He has the power to bless and to save. Let me just read this and we are done. I'm just reading back verse 4 and then we close. And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go. Do you see how simple it seems to the Lord? Sometimes you read these things, it seems so simple. This man is sick of dropsy, a very serious illness. He simply brings the man to the front, perhaps. And as the language of the scripture goes, he simply heals the man. He didn't have to shout over him and really do all these kind of gimmicks that the charismatic churches do. He didn't have to do any of them because it was not necessary. This is the Lord of glory dealing with an illness he has absolute power over. As he simply may have simply drive away the sickness and then may the person go. As simple as that. Because this is a needy person and the Lord is blessing. My dear friends, it is easy for the Lord to bless and save because the Savior has borne the cost already. The Lord Jesus Christ has borne the cost of salvation. He went to the cross of Calvary to suffer, to bear the penalty for needy sinners. If we come, the trouble is sometimes we don't come sincerely. Sometimes we only come half-heartedly. If we come sincerely, we will find that it is so easy for Him to forgive us and to change us. Yes, see, Eradi Yesu Kristo, our friend Papa no na osani yare no manu koye. Yes, see, Eradi Yesu Kristo, the head said the ayem re manu na samso inyam kopo. Inti enye sebiya no ke kamu go Papa no so no ye ye miyama ahudu ahu bibiya. Oh yes, say ye numubiya. Oh ye Eradi. Oh to me cry. Oh ya deso. And she'll cry out someone or cut the enemy free because they say, they ran you call you. Because of what to me, sir. Yes, it's a say, I am a memory man with so Gidi Bonini. The sons of no being kind, a chair bonny who car or a senior so. Brome a de bonny good so, and when the bonny for fun, said the bay on the chinney, it didn't make Sadi Bonini or be riding chain. You need to name a man, you need young cooking the soying. The young man, send me banning chain with cream, your problem, they say. A yan a man you cream, yeah, yeah, okay. Oh, you're ready, me, Jimmy, Jimmy, Judy, yan a dear and a no crown or dee car. Okay, saying in an acumada soa, ectari, and one a sordini, and a proper so noir, or no, I will grow so. Obey then you radiate him. Say, a bear radio on the quarrel quadi, but they will say, yem remi radi, say, or Jim. Perceive ye say, if you say, a mini brace, Sam, a mean prim prayer, Sam. And I might be say, well, meet him there to work a crack. The chance, my chest and my baby, Christian. And now, look how sorry I did. Hey, yeah, mommy. I might just say, yeah, mommy. So, say, me, I'm sure Shema come and be saying, I'm saying, I'm para saying, I'm coupon name. Me singing in young coupon. And a young coupon singing in Yana. And a young coupon coming in the semi canon crawl for me. And a min a miss semi canon crawl for me. Yes, I'm praying. You want to write a bay, Adam? You will say, praying. This is an urgent matter, please. Oh, that you took it so seriously and urgently.